Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
This morning, you want to be a California weatherman sometimes. You just want to say, it's the same as yesterday. It's perfect surfing weather, luscious, or maybe, the people of the islands, like the Bahamians and all, they're just so relaxed and so calm and so easygoing. Not all of them, but just they got this easygoing, and it's like, it's still beautiful. The wind's blowing or whatever.
Paradise living.
But, it's just not like that when you turn your back on God, when you just, it seems that way. It seems like, that if it was nice yesterday and it's nice today, it means it's going to be nice tomorrow. But the suddenlies begin to happen, and the Lord laid on my heart, that you need to go to the VFN Torch and click on prophetic words. And we need to get Johnny Foote in here to be able to talk to everybody and just to share what's on his heart. But I'm really believing, and it's just this, we're just so selfish as a people. We're just so, it's all about, us as a people. And in this word the Lord gave me this morning, in my abiding time, we look across this whole land and it's like, we might not get over this until there's some great oppression for a while, mm-hmm. And we're looking at what's happening with our leadership, and it's like Josiah's, lineage after Josiah's gone. And if you hadn't watched Josiah, go to VFN TV and watch Josiah. But we are being handed over so rapidly and so fast. We're being so infiltrated. And things that I heard, Johnny Foote say sometime back, you want to just say, that was like history. That's like black and white movies and newsreels.
Uh-huh.
But, they're seeing right now in Colorado, Russian, big bulky Secret Service type Russian men shooting in the ranges who speak fluent Russian. In Colorado. Hmm. And so this one man who is former law enforcement goes and talks to, who was shooting on the range, and he noticed that the guy had a Russian gun, and so he looks at it and says, oh, where did you get this from? He looked in the sights of the gun, and it had the Russian star on the sights of it. And then the guy responds to him back in Russian, speaks Russian to him. And the other guy just jumps all over him, and he's saying, English, talk English. And so they come back out. Part of Johnny's Foote's word was about the center of the United States and what's going to happen in the center. And a lot of things you might not know about the center of the United States, but a lot of our stuff is there. Our weapons are there, and our things that our national security stuff is there.
Right.
And you can say what you want to. This is not a political situation. This is a church situation. And the answer is God's people saying we're wrong and we're sorry, and then accompanying that with living a right life by God's grace and mercy. I mean, I know it can happen, and I hear, prophetic words that are north, I hear prophetic words that are south, and I hear prophetic words that are east, and I hear prophetic words that are west. But God is yes.
Mm-hmm.
God is not, he's not confused. So it's going to be one or the other, but it's not going to be yes and no at the same time. Mm. It's not going to be, if one person's, saying, this is the best time that America has ever seen, a prophet.
Right.
And then somebody else is saying that, it's going to be major because the sin is rampant, and we just bought into this and bought into that, and we got to repent. If we don't, then this stuff's going to happen. I mean, one of those guys are liars. One of them are lying. And prophecy, the biggest thing about Revelation chapter 2, when God's dealing with his church, not the world, he's talking about prophets. He's talking about, you know, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. And so one thing about a lying spirit and all that kind of stuff is that a religious spirit is that it's going to always say, you know, it wants to prophesy. It wants to be known as a prophet. It wants to talk as a prophet. It was like,
right.
But just because you want to be known as a prophet and just because you want to prophesy, and by the way, just because you prophesy, Matthew chapter 7, it doesn't mean you know God.
Right.
And so he says, you know, in Isaiah, this is important because, you know, Ahab loved looking for people who would give him a word that made him feel good, you know, and because of our culture, and we're into this feeling. I'm getting right into it this morning because I just couldn't. I just really believe this is from the Lord for us, you know, to talk. This is a conversation that we're having. We can't get over ourselves. We just can't get over ourselves. It is not about us. And how come we keep coming into the equation? Why do we keep bringing ourselves up? Why do, you know, when we're only 5.2% of the world's population, approximately, you know, we have most of the wealth, we suck most of the resources, we're drunk on the oil of the world, we're the ones sucking up all the oil. Only 3% of the church itself even honors God as God by giving him their, which means 97% are robbing God of his tithes and offerings. Mm-hmm. Only 18%, according to George Bono as well, are reading their Bible, which is the word of God. Thy word hath I hid in my heart, that I would not sin against you. Well, if I'm not reading my Bible, it's a guaranteed I'm in sin. I'm just in sin. If I'm not reading the word, because he says, thy word hath I hid in my heart, that I would not sin against you. Well, one way that the enemy deceives us is to make us feel better about our sin. Or to imagine this, the way that the enemy can make us feel better about speeding in our cars is take away all the speed limit signs. But the problem is, he's not going to take away the police.
That's
so you're just going to get pulled over, and you're going to get a ticket, and you're not going to know why you're getting a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what the enemy says, hey, if you don't read the word of God, if you don't read the laws of God, if you don't read the commands of God, therefore you're not breaking any. And then you're going to get pulled over by the justice of God, you know, and suffer major consequences. And it's just really tough. I mean, it's just a really tough, tough thing. And, you know, preaching the gospel and the Great Commission and being a disciple is not a good idea. It's just not, hey, it is a command from the creator of the universe and an expectation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we can go astray. He said it would be better for you to never known the truth, America, than to known it and walked away.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dog returning to his vomit. And a doctrine has been preached that there's no probability of losing your salvation. If you think about this, if it's your mouth and your heart that gets you in, right? You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you enter in and God receives you. But if your mouth and your heart can get you in, you really don't think your mouth and your heart can get you out?
Hello.
Is that like a one-way valve? Is that like some little backflow valve that goes on for we call it backflow gospel. That, you know, once you flow one way, it'll never flow the other way, which is probably the worst lie of all, because that means now you're going to bust hell wide open with a dusty Bible that you never read, deep in speeding sin because you never even looked at the speed limit, and angry with everybody instead of taking ownership for yourself, because there's no witnesses or suspects. You're not going to be able to have somebody who preached to you a doctrine that said, hey, you know, just once the water flows one way, it'll never flow back, because this is a gospel, a backflow gospel. There's no backflow here. I mean, once you go one way, you know, with God, you can never go back. And you got to be a liar to say that. But you got to be a liar to say that, because God's word says it. Jesus says it. The church that God writes to in prophetically in Revelation, he's writing to the church. And he says, unless you return, unless you repent, unless you turn to your first love, if you don't leave Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, who's leading my people astray, you're going to end up in the same bed of suffering. You know, and this is not being said. But that the best lie you can tell somebody is they're right when they're wrong. And that's the best lie you can tell, because then they're not going to do anything to even pursue the probability that they're right. They're wrong. It's like if I just even thought possibly that I need to check myself to see if I'm in the faith, then I would be reading my Bible. I would be reading my Bible. And some of the word that came to me this morning, and I'm verifying its source first, but it's just so bears witness of my spirit. I'm going to be sharing with you this week. But listen, you know, if somebody's been more worried about your money than your soul, but you've been paying them off so they won't mention your soul, both of you guys are guilty parties.
That's right.
I mean, you can't call that man or woman as a witness before the throne of God, and they can't call you as a witness before the throne of God or suspect. I mean, you got to stand alone. You got to say, well, really, you know, I knew that if I kept on doing this, then he wouldn't challenge my sin. And the other one says, I knew if I quit mentioning sin, then he would continue to give me what I wanted. So both of them are getting what they want in that relationship, except God. And I'm just concerned. I'm deeply concerned. You know, Israel just fired the first shot in protecting their borders and thwarting a terrorist attack on Israel. And the church sleeps. I mean, it just sleeps, the church. And you're talking about, we're not talking about buildings here. You know, look at the people that come out of the building. Look at the people that are meeting in the coffee shops, the ones that are believers. That they're just sleeping. I mean, it just feels like a vacuum to me. It, you know, a vacuum is like if you take the air and you suck it out of a container, it's like sound doesn't move. It's a vacuum. Mm-hmm. And it's like we're in a vacuum, and the church is saying nothing. And the question is, will I lose my tax exempt status if I actually say something that we're in sin and that we're about to lose our country? Will I lose my, which means this, will I lose the money that I want so desperately, that I think I have to be able to tell the truth? I mean, is that really going to measure up? I mean, it's so ridiculous. Can you imagine? But the church in China is 100 million believers. 100 million believers. And they do not have a tax exempt status.
Right.
They try to get lost in the woodwork. They just kind of, you know, there, but not there, but right. Faithfully there. And it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and it's like, and I'm praying yesterday, and I'm just saying, God, you know, look, you know, and God is powerful. God can turn this around. God can, you know, he can shake this thing. And it's like, he is God, and he has the ability to respond. But the question is, will he even find anybody that will stand up and say, I will stand in the gap. This is wrong. And God, you are God. And these things can turn. Are we just going to sit back silently and just say, yeah, I knew it was happening? It's like, you know, you just need to be, if you're going to talk about you knew something after it happened, you know, we don't even want to know you. You know, you're just a prideful person filled with fear, and you didn't want to tell anybody what you knew. And now you're going to show up because you want to be recognized that you knew it. But let me tell you something. God just let you in on what he was telling a lot of his people. And you were just too afraid to tell anybody. You know, at least, you know, you think about it, at least be seen in the histories of eternity that you fought for God, that you fought for what was right. Even if we're going to lose this country, which I'm trying to delve into reasons why we should, God should give us, but it boils down, I think, that because he's good, and sometimes he just reboots. If you understand, sometimes God says, listen, okay, at this point, I'm just not going to remember your sin anymore. I'm just going to let it go. And sometimes you got to do that in relationships. You got to go, absolutely. You're never going to make this right.
Right.
You know, let's just move on and hope it works out. Mm-hmm. And God does that. And my prayer is like, you know, Lord, you can. You are God, and you can move. You can do this. You can do this.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Young girls often are naturally interested in fashion, but there are some dangers. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. You know, in a culture that markets to girls with messages of beauty and perfection, Dana Gresh has some words of caution.
The research really indicates that young girls who are exposed to fashion products too soon, who are overconsumed with their body and beauty image, that they're more at risk of eating disorders, depression, and an early sexual debut in their teen years. And then when they're young adult women, and they're in that first few years of their marriage relationship, that they have so many scars on their heart and so many body image issues that they can't enjoy the gift that God has given to them.
You'll find tips for good conversations with your tween daughter at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
And this is the time. I mean, God can do anything. And if we reboot, you know, we can start again. The whole idea is that it starts with us. It starts with my people. But we're living in really serious times. And we got to hear prophetically what God is saying to his church. But in order to hear what he's saying, we definitely have to be awake. And it's like, if there's ever a time to be awake, if there's ever a time to be listening and be close to the Lord, now is the time, because God's speaking.
You know, and he says in Isaiah 43, he says, you know, you go out there and you plant basically a seedling in a tree, you grow it, you know, you cut it up, you cut half of it up and you burn it for fire to cook your food on it. And another piece, you build a house with it basically or something. Mm-hmm. But the other piece, you carve an image out of it to make it look like a person and pretty it up a little bit. And then you treat it like a goal, like a god.
Mm.
And then you bow down to it. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, he's talking in Isaiah, and he goes about how stupid this is. It's just so stupid. And he says, you know, and you don't even, he says, it's such stupidity and ignorance. This is what he says in his word. He says, and you don't even know to ask yourself the question, is this really a god? Can this house, this job, this car that I'm living for, this stuff and things, is it really God? Do I really believe that I'm not bowing down to them when I say no to God because I want this or want that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it will cost me something? Mm-hmm. Am I really saying that I'm convincing myself that I'm not making myself a god when I refuse to die to myself?
Mm-hmm.
And we think that God's going to accept our explanation. Well, this is why I worship me over you, God.
Right.
And it's like, Oh, okay. I totally get it. I totally get it. Idolatry? Oh, come on in. Welcome. Welcome.
Right.
Welcome.
Right.
Move over here to the lake of fire where all the idolaters are, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. We'll get with you in a minute.
We'll get with you in a minute and have a seat in the heat. Right?
That's right.
And we've gone so far that we think idolatry gives us access to God. That it's not, it's a wink. God winks at sin. Mm-hmm. And it's just, my heart breaks, but my cry to God is like, God, do something.
Yeah.
You know, break through. And, you see all these, things, people are saying, hey, we're going to pray for 40 days. We're going to pray for 40 days. Election's going to come. We're going to pray for 40 days. And I thank God for the 40 days of prayer. But where were we the other 365 days? Are we going to just wait and ask God every single time for a get out of hell free card and get out of judgment free card? Are we going to begin to live for God? Listen, we are the richest nation in the history of the world, mm-hmm. and we cry out for more. We have you can have children, for example, that just refuse to grow up and they keep on expecting their parents to provide for them and so a parent would do an injustice to keep on providing, mm-hmm. Because they're never going to mature into being a man or a woman. They're going to be this child. Mm-hmm. And so you're actually repressing them from maturing as an adult.
Exactly.
And so, but you look at America, and America's like a whole bunch of children that never grew up.
Yeah.
And they're demanding from people and government and everybody to give them something. And it's like, did it ever cross your mind to just do something? Like work mm-hmm. is so easy today in America that you can sit there and move your finger and cluck a few times with a headset on, and you could run reservations or for an airline, or you can, work with a credit card company. You can do, AAA, help calls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't even take any energy to do the jobs that we have, because in the history you go out, you had to go, not only did you do jobs like that, that kind of jobs, but you went out and worked, but you had to go home and grow the back 40 so you could eat.
Mm. Yeah.
Part of your daily life was, you had to go pull the eggs from the chickens so that you could have eggs, but you had eggs.
Right.
But my concern is this generation, we don't know anything about farming. We don't know anything. I encourage you, by the way, get some books on farming and just put them aside. Cause I really believe you're gonna have a lot of time to read them, a lot of time to read them. And if you haven't yet, you need to go to VFN TV and you need to watch Prudent Preparation. But is it really wrong for us to return to the labors it takes to produce food? Is that really that bad?
Right.
This is not good where we're at, but listen, with God in Psalms 91, we're walking with God. God says he'll protect you. He'll keep you. But see, this is how he does it. He speaks to you. He tells you what you need to know. Hear what my spirit is saying to the churches. So if you're not going to abide with God, you're going to ignorantly walk into danger and trouble. It's not that he's not protecting you. It's that you're not listening to the protector,
That's right.
And so when we talk about abiding, it's for your own, the best survival plan you can have is to listen to the creator of the universe. If you couldn't do anything else, learn now how to hear the voice of God. Learn now how to abide with him. And you need to mature in it the way you learn, like a child matures in hearing their parents' voice and how to respond to it. And you have to mature. You need to start now. Because mm-hmm. God's been speaking volumes over your life, but you haven't been speaking hearing his language.
And that's right.
And a picture's worth a thousand words. And God will he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, and you're going to be prophecies and dreams. And he really does speak. God does speak. And I believe the voice of the Lord is available on VFN TV. And you can just hear some of our experiences, how, we've heard God and God can do anything he wants to, ever how he wants to do it. But when you start hearing, oh my goodness, that means the Lord spoke to me. But right now, he is speaking volumes about the world. You know, men still want to rule the world. You need to go listen to that in your highlights or on VFN Torch. They really do. They still want to rule the world. And the ones that are ruled are the ones who are not ruled by God. And the ones who just naively go, nah, that couldn't be.
Right.
So, I mean, a big survival plan. We'll talk more about it. But just be ready. Why is it, you know, if a hurricane's coming, you know, the difference between an earthquake and a hurricane, for example. And by the way, if you need a plan, we've got a simple plan for you for abiding. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and begin. Request your simple plan today. If a hurricane's coming, listen, you want somebody to warn you. It's in the Gulf. You know, we're expecting it to hit on Tuesday. Today is Sunday.
Be prepared. Get your supplies. Do the things you need to do because it's coming.
Yeah. It's just like, and can you imagine? Look at that stupid. I can't believe they're telling us a hurricane's coming. That is, oh my goodness. They're wasting emergency broadcast services. You know, I can't believe that they're sending me these messages. Aren't they? Y'all just shut up and quit telling us a hurricane's coming. You don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
Foolish ones. Foolish ones. I remember when a hurricane came and you had this great destruction being broadcast and they're sharing and they're doing their part to letting people know, there was always a group of people that were wise and prepared and got the things that they needed to get. And then there was a group that wanted a party on the very beach, on the shores that this storm was coming. And it's like, are you kidding me? And so this hurricane party, and I remember one year people got swept away. I don't know if they found them. One person got killed. And it's like, really? And it's like, there's a warning being declared. God is speaking. It's not time to sleep or time to not be awake. It's a time to pay attention. But those that paid attention, those that were wise, those that prepared, they were okay. You know, but I remember afterwards going into the grocery stores and just to see what people were doing. And I mean, bare, nothing.
Instantly, they're empty.
And they were trying to look for stuff. And I just felt so bad. You know, I was prepared. Just getting a feel of what was happening. I was walking around and kind of seeing it's like, you know, wow, this is bad. For nothing like needing something and being prepared and you didn't listen. And now there's nothing there to get prepared and it's coming. You don't want to be that person.
You're so used to going to the gas station, there'd be gas.
Right.
You know, but when you sit there and you're getting gas, and we're about to take a break and we'll be right back, and you got, you know, 400 cars behind you, and you know, are you just going to fill your tank up? Or are you going to fill an extra 5-gallon can up? Because when you do that, you have 400 people behind you, knowing that tank will run out at any moment and a truck is not coming, and you're caught in dilemmas and questions that you would never had to ask yourself when resources get limited.
Right.
And the strategy of the adversary who's doing these things to our country right now is to get us to a place like that where everybody kind of turns in and begins to just wonder and roam and fight over resources. And people will fight. If there's one loaf of bread and you got two mothers right there and they know that they didn't go shopping and, you know, they will fight.
Yeah.
You know, instead of taking half a loaf of bread and spreading it, you start panicking. Well, how long is this? Is it going to last a week, a day, a month, a year? And so everybody just starts gathering as much as they can. And since it's just-in-time inventory systems, that those that learn that in college and all, is that they only produce what you request for your shelves. They don't create the product, which means it's not a big, huge warehouse full of stuff you see on your shelves and your Walmart or your Target. It's waiting for somebody to request production, which means when the shelves are emptied across the land, now they're going to have to produce the product. So if that, just that time alone, you're looking at a delay, but then add that with gas shortages and everything else, the trucks can't get to you and the petroleum products that you make stuff, everything's got plastic and petroleum in it. Power. I really sense even in my spirit that, you know, there's things that could happen. There's things that our enemy would love to happen to us. One of them would be rationing of everything. And I just sense that they would love to say, okay, we're going to start rationing electricity. You know, and that's common in other countries. And, you know, Americans rationing anything would be interesting. But, you know, imagine, you know, that you only have a limited amount of time to be able to chill your food and do that type of thing, and it comes back down again. And digitally, you can do that now. You can say,
put a timer on that thing.
They put a timer on that thing. I want to encourage you. Listen, God's telling us the hurricane's coming, basically. Not a hurricane, but just this storm. We talked about the prophetic storm. So we can prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Just prepare. It's amazing that when you're prepared, you can just wait for the wind to blow over. You can wait for the storm to... And when people are running the streets, you're just kind of relaxing and just going, you're still abiding and hanging out with God and just waiting for things to blow over or things to kick back in again, that type of thing. And you're calm.
Uh-huh.
But let me tell you something, to know and not prepare, there's not a worse feeling.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spa. If you're looking to make some additions to your home, consider today visiting Joyce at Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spas, and they ship nationwide. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
And you know, we have a special offer for you, and I want to tell you about it. It's called Convergence. My goodness, it's a prophetic word that's amazing. And the whole title is called The Convergence, A Choir of Prophetic Words. And it talks about ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn, and the coming great awakening. I mean, this was a word that was shared, a convergence, a coming together, if you will, of prophetic words that was just really absolutely amazing. And I remember this day like it was yesterday, because it just, God just filled the studio. We were so gripped. But you're going to hear words from Rick Joyner. You're going to hear words from Greg. Vision that God gave me regarding the economy and it crashing. You're going to hear words from David Wilkerson, Steve Hill. And it seems that all of these words are just coming together at one time. Because listen, God is preparing his church. God is preparing his church. He's getting ready for a third great awakening. We want you to have this special offer. You can go to VFNTV.com, make an offer, any offer. But we want to get it to you so that you can be aware, you can know what God is saying, and so that you can prepare. Again, go to VFNTV.com, select a special offer, and get it today and share it with a friend.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, I mean, God's been really talking to me the last couple of days about suffering.
Oh, goodness.
I remember when I first got saved, you know, I started reading the book of Revelations, and, you know, I was, you just love you know, prophecy and things that are coming. And that was a wild, wild book when I first read it. And I was like, man.
Yeah.
And of course, my theology at that time, man, we're definitely post-trib. It's post-trib. We're going to go through some stuff, man. We're going to suffer greatly. And, but anyway, you know, of course, as you grow as a believer, you know, you kind of look at things a little bit differently. And you read about suffering. You know, a lot of times we suffer because of our own foolishness.
Mm.
You know, but the Bible talks about, you know, to this we were called to suffer. You know, it's much greater to suffer for the cause of Christ, you know, for standing up for righteousness, you know.
Yes.
But how often is that the case? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you hear the other side where people say, well, if you're suffering, obviously you've done something wrong.
Obviously.
You're obviously in sin. What have you done?
Right.
You know, but the Bible talks says clearly, you know, that's a lot of times that's something God's working, something else out in you.
Mm.
And I was just had me reading a book of Job here recently, and just in the first couple of chapters, and that book's always
that encouraging
baffled
one.
Me. Yeah. Especially in the very beginning where it talks about, you know, when the angels and Satan were presenting themselves before the Lord. It's like, wow, I wonder what that meeting was like. And then, of course, then the Lord says to Satan, he says, have you considered my servant Job? There was no one on the earth like him. He is blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. And, of course, here's Satan's reply to that. He says, well, does Job fear God for nothing? You know, have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all his goods? Have you not blessed the work of his hands, so his flocks and his herds that are spread throughout the land? But he says, but strike your hand against everything he has, and surely he will curse you to his face.
Mm.
But God says, okay, well, let's try that theory.
Mm.
So he gave him permission to do that. And so, you know, in a day, Job loses everything.
Wow.
Everything. He loses his flocks, his herds, his he lost servants, he lost all 10 of his children in a day.
Wow.
But in all that, Job did not curse the name of the Lord. So then, of course, at the second time, you know, Satan appears before the Lord, and he goes, well, if you strike his body, his flesh, if you really just, you know, go against that, then obviously he'll definitely curse you to your face. Mm. So again, says, okay, give it a shot, see what happens. And then, I'm not going to do the whole thing, but, you know, obviously Job did not curse the Lord. Went through major suffering. A serious major suffering.
Mm.
I mean, his body was covered with boils to the point where he was like scraping the scabs off with pottery and horrible. I can imagine going through that. And of course, Job went on that journey, you know, of self-pity and whatever and questioning God, but he never cursed God. He never talked against the Lord. He knew better than that because he did fear the Lord.
Mm.
Of course, his encouragers were of no help. His wife even said, curse God and die.
Oh my goodness.
You know, I was like, great. Bad enough, I'm dying over here.
Encourage me here.
Yeah, right. You're over here shooting your mouth off. Like, just go away. Just go away. But if you
curse God, oh my goodness.
Exactly. So, but if you read in James, it says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you are mature, complete, and not lacking anything. A lot of times people are just fair weather believers, you know. They're all about God and everything. Everything's just great and everything's going right.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as the first wind comes along,
first trial,
they're gone. You know what I'm saying? You know, they don't fell out the church, you know, they quit tithing, you know, everything just, you know, comes to an end.
I'm done.
It's right. Over. This God thing ain't working.
Mm.
You know, obviously, you know, you sinned kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's the testing of our faith. It's those times of trials and sufferings. He's saying, consider pure joy. Mm. You know, those are the times that our characters are built, you know, which makes you stronger.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a negative thing, which doesn't make sense to the natural mind.
Sure.
Like, how can this suffering be good? How can these boils be good? How can all my losing everything be a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
But if you read the rest of the story of Job, he gets it all back. I think it was like sevenfold.
And then some.
And
yeah.
then some. I mean, it was like, if you hang on, mm-hmm. if you don't quit,
right.
you know, if you don't give up,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a blessing on the other end of this.
Sure.
You know, but you're going to learn something through this trial.
Right.
And that is so powerful, so true. I think about in Hebrews, when Jesus, Hebrews 5, says during...
Yeah, go ahead.
This during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, although he was a son,
mm-hmm.
he learned obedience from what he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek.
Mm.
I mean, he's like, wait a minute. Jesus.
All right.
Jesus suffered. He learned obedience by what he suffered. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. wow. And it was reverent submission. And get this. And once he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation. He had to be made perfect. The suffering made him perfect. And once he was made perfect at that time, he became the source of eternal salvation. And it's like, man, you got to be willing to go through. So God's mm-hmm. doing something.
Right.
Now, we talked about that in a segment not too long ago. It says, don't think it's strange. God's just working on you.
Exactly.
And you can find that on the VFN Torch. Don't think it's strange.
Right. If Jesus had to suffer, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on. You can go through that little trial. Come on.
Right.
You know, you're not being crucified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're not having your beaten and flogged and having your beard ripped out. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
You can hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. You know, I also read in Matthew 5, it says, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good.
Mm.
And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know what I'm saying? So it's nothing strange that you go through things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you come to God doesn't mean you're never going to go through anything ever again. It's not this get out of jail free card. It's
right. mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be perfect and just wonderful now. It's not like that.
No.
Mm. You know, not like that at all. And you're looking at these people, they're obviously unrighteous. And it looks like they're just prospering. Everything's going well for them. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
man, what's the point in serving God? Look at these evil people. Look what they're, you know. They're blessed.
Right. But mm-hmm. Jesus tells us not to even do that.
Exactly.
Right. Because exactly. without him, we're all evil. If we just took one pinky off.
Hello. Hello. You just got your reward.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it just gave me a great understanding, great perspective on, you know, the purpose for suffering. And there's a purpose for it. You know, it's not a negative. It's not necessarily a negative thing.
I tell you what, don't waste your suffering.
Mm-mm.
I mean, your suffering, you could either get bitter, you can get better, but you can't get both.
Right.
And if you're going to suffer, you know what I'm saying? The first question is, okay, God.
What are you saying? Yeah.
Right. Because he could use it. I mean, God's not, he's not trying to torture us. He's not trying to, but there's things that we have to learn. There's things that we grow in God through some of the trials that we go through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest things that it does is allows us to find out where our dependency is. Who are we trusting in?
Exactly. It's definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a testing of our faith.
It's
are
the
we
testing.
Really in the faith? Are we just a fair weather believer?
Yeah. Because let me tell you something. When the trials come, talk about, you know, having any roots, when the cares of this world happen, if you don't have it, if your roots are not down deep, you're going to be tossed all over the place. Mm-hmm. You're going to be ripped to shreds. And it's the trial. It's the trial that you can find God in that trial. Let me tell you something. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than finding God in the midst of a trial.
That's so much sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and thank God for it.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I
want to encourage you. You know, if you felt like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God. You know, you want to be close to Him. You want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. Now they'll have the ability to track every purchase, every sale, every, you know, where you're at, facial recognition. The good thing about me is that my weight varies so much. They won't even, the thing like, this could be him, but his face is differently shaped now than it was before. You know, it's the turkey. It's the turkey.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a society because the facial recognition, they sell these, I saw them in the store, these, I guess they had them for a while because it's wintertime, but those ski masks that cover just your eyeballs, just your eyes. They have a whole society
just
wearing
just cover the eyes?
Well, no, I'm sorry. There's an opening just for the eyes. Okay. Are you trying to get back with the K-on? Is that
just trying to help you.
All right. See,
K-on-isms.
It's K-on-isms. Yeah. Anyway, there's a whole opening just for the eyes that your whole face is completely covered. And you think, my
Oh, the
goodness.
Whole face?
Yeah, except for you know, your ability to see.
Oh, a mask.
A mask, yeah. Ski mask, you know.
A mask.
Whatever.
We call those masks.
A mask. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, ski mask, something like that.
The point here, point here that I'm trying to make.
Is there a point?
Is there a point?
There's a point. It's coming.
There's a point.
You ready?
Too much K-on.
All that surveillance and facial recognition, you have a whole society walking around with all these masks. It's like,
well, they have a law now. They have a law right now that you cannot wear masks in certain areas.
Really?
Like when I was going, I had a mask on today. When I was walking in the bank, I had a mask on.
Someone politely escorted you.
Nobody greeted me. Like, no, I'm messing with you. They have a law that says you can't walk into a bank with a mask on.
Yeah. I think it's a good law.
Do you? Well, that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, hey, I think you should never have a mask on. They're going to think it's a great law.
Yeah.
You know what that means in the North? It means your nose is going to freeze, your ears are going to
fall off.
And your lips are going to be split in 15 locations because you're not going to, the cold wind's going to be hitting you, right?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's different. I mean, obviously, down south, they don't worry too much about, you know, if somebody's wearing a mask down south,
you're in trouble.
Something is up.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
You know, I mean, you could be going through something today, and it's the trial of your life. It's you, 6 months ago, a month ago, you could never imagine going through what you're going through today.
Right.
And it's these sobering moments sometimes that happen in our lives that causes us to kind of shake us a little bit and to help us to do that recalibrating, that realigning, refocusing, and remembering on the things that matter most. You know, who is God? What is He to me? And how's my relationship with Him right now? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right. I remember, you know, I look back on my life and it's during those times that I grew the most.
Yeah.
You know, because it's during those times that you're at the cross. You know, you're at the feet of Jesus, you know, and we go through these different trials because God is trying to grow us and strengthen us for the things that are even coming that haven't even hit us yet.
That's right.
You know, these are times of preparation for even the things that we're talking about now.
Right.
You know, we went through what we've gone through to prepare us for what's coming next.
That's right.
Right.
Right. That's very good.
Right.
Yeah. It just builds our strength.
Exactly.
You know, if I can handle this, you know, it's going to give me energy and strength to handle this next thing.
Right.
Absolutely. And once you see God pull you through this trial, believe you me, you'll have faith to believe God will pull you through the next one. And not only will you have faith for yourself, but then now you can become a an extension of God's love, because right. now you can go back and you can encourage people and you can right. minister people and say, let me tell you something. What God did for me, he can surely do
That's
for you.
Exactly right.
The word of their testimony.
That's right.
Absolutely. And suffering also allows us to have empathy. You know, it's amazing that when you don't go through anything, your level, your two things diminish, your ability to empathize with others, and that's just to go kind of go through and feel what they've been feeling, and your ability to love is greatly diminished. But let me tell you something. Let you know, be sick in your body for a little while. Be hurting a little while in your body, and you will look at people that are sick in a completely different way. You know, I might have said this before, but you know, when I was sick with the flu one time, and I was so just terribly ill. I mean, for a long time, I'd hear people say they had the flu, and I thought they're just having a cold. I'm like, what are you all complaining about? It's just a cold. You know?
Get over it. Just take a pill.
Yeah, you know, I'm the type of person, I don't slow down. You know, I'll keep going sick or whatever, and not probably the wisest thing to do. Not the wisest thing to do, but it's just kind of how I'm wired. And and so I'm like, you know, take some calm medicine and let's go. Come on. until I got the flu one day. And I got this flu that hit me so bad. I mean, I was out of work for an entire week. I mean, that's never, ever, ever happened to me. Ever. I just could not get out of bed. And let me tell you that there was no medication. There was nothing that could help me. Listen, when you're sick and you can't shake it,
it's miserable.
All I could do is just lay in my bed and pray. But sick was one thing. The pain that I felt in my body, the only way I could describe it is if someone turned me over, and I'm laying on my belly, and just beat me with a bat from the top of my back all the way down to the bottom of my feet. It was just excruciating. It hurt me to sit.
Yeah.
And instantly, as I was just praying in pain, you know, I just felt like I had such a compassion came over me for the elderly. And I'm thinking, Lord, how many elderly today? I mean, if I'm sick with the flu, are there any elderly that are going through what I'm going through right now? I'm strong and I'm young and I'm going through this, and I'm whimpering here in pain because the pain was just unreal.
Right.
And I just, all this compassion just started welling up for the elderly and their sickness.
That's right.
And so, you know, unless you have been out of work and you can't put food on the table, unless you've been through a trial and you've lost a loved one, you know what I'm saying? Unless you went through something that you never thought you could ever go through. And the thing is that, you know, we talked about this in the first hour. Why does the church have to be persecuted? Why do we have to go through a suffering before we can look up and turn to God?
That's right.
That's the whole thing about having an attitude of gratitude and begin your prayer life, begin your time communing and talking with God. With the first things that you say to him is, listen, after I love you, is I thank you. And keep going. We've oftentimes, you know, we don't want our prayer life to be a list of, you know, submitting a check wreck from God, if you will, a check requisition from God. This is what I need, and you know, can you hook me up, and can you send me that check, and can you? But we want to start off with an attitude of gratitude and just begin to start thanking Him.
Absolutely.
I mean, we are so incredibly blessed, and it's something that we talk about here often. But listen, we have new VFN Radio listeners joining us every single day, and if you're joining us now, you're joining us in the extra hour. And we've been talking about sufferings and trials and things that we've gone through looking at the life of Job. But you know, you were sharing, Pat, that James says that, listen, welcome, you know, look at these trials with joy. You know, welcome these trials as friends because it's a perfecting of your faith. And if Jesus himself learned obedience from the things he suffered and the student is not above the master, we can embrace the same attitude.
To this we were called, right?
To this we were called. I mean, you either find yourself in one of three places. You're either coming out of a trial, either, you know, go in the middle of a trial, or you're about to get in one.
You're about to face one. That's where America's at right now.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's where we're at.
America thinks that they're suffering, but they're not suffering yet.
Right. I mean, they're suffering for many reasons. You know, like I said before, it could be because of your own foolishness, which is where America's at right now, because we turn our backs on God. Or because God's obviously wanting to work something out in you. that needs to be strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Which end of that are we going to be on, right?
But the level of suffering that is going to come upon this land, unless there's repentance, it's going to be really great. And what we're talking about here is encouragement for you to remember that, listen, no matter how big or small that trial may be, remember that you can turn to God. It's never too late to turn to God. And if there's nothing you've ever could have done, that God will reject you and turn his back on you. I mean, the enemy may be condemning you because you're in this trial and it was your fault and you did this and now you're going through a situation. It's not just you, but now your family's going through it. And you know, you're feeling awful and he's just condemned. Mm-hmm. Listen, God doesn't want you to stay in guilt and shame. You're not trying to earn your penance. You're not trying to pay off a debt to God. Sometimes the enemy can lie to you and say, well, I'll just stay depressed for 6 months. And then God will forget. Listen.
Right.
You don't need to wait no 6 months and, you know, walking around dragging your head and all that type of stuff. You can cry out now and say, God, son of David, have mercy on me.
That's right.
And yesterday we talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's the self-righteous person that was just, you know, the Pharisee that didn't, was talking about all his good deeds.
Right.
But it was actually the tax collector who stood at a distance, who beat at his chest.
Yeah.
And said, have mercy on me. Mm-hmm. Have mercy on me. Well, my goodness, we can welcome our trials
as friends.
God's working on us. God's working on us.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You'll want to do something indoors? Bring the family in. In Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall, visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.